had this idea of like, I had a very specific idea where I wanted to launch a journal for couples to help them improve their love life and help them improve their relationships. And this could be something that you pass back and forth between the person you're dating or you're married to. And I guess I just got really honest with myself about what my passions are and what my strengths are, which is really creating content. And a lot of the work I've been able to do through video, through podcasts, through social media has enabled a lot of other people to follow their dreams, quit the jobs they hate, become entrepreneurs. And I've
Welcome to the E-commerce Mindset Podcast. That was just a short clip from this interview with Chris Van Loon, the second, a content creator at capitalism.com. We talk about creating content specifically for e-commerce. We talk about both consuming podcasts and creating podcasts as part of a content strategy, as well as videos and how you can leverage content. I think you'll find this very interesting and hope you're able to take away some nuggets. This episode is brought to you by my Amazon advertising agency. We help you grow your business on Amazon using the power of Amazon advertising. I was super proud yesterday to get a message from one of our customers who essentially wrote, amazing work here. We're moving fast and furious, and I really appreciate everything you're doing. I think it's working too well, actually. We've gone from 0 to 100 pretty fast, and I'm working to keep up with inventory so that items don't go out of stock. To find out more about using our agency, Incrementum Digital, to help with your sponsored ads, you can email me, Liran, L-I-R-A-N, at IncrementumDigital.com. Enjoy the episode. Okay, so I'm super excited to have Chris Van Loon II with us. Chris is a content creator at capitalism.com, working very closely with Ryle Daniel Moran. He is also the host of his own podcast called Podcast People. So Chris, welcome to the show. Happy to have you on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep. So I think we first met probably a couple of years ago. I was a member of Ryan's Backroom Mastermind, and you know, you're the guy behind the scenes doing a lot of the content filming and content creating with Ryan and capitalism.com. And you know, it'd be interesting to get your sort of take on from an outside perspective into this whole like e-commerce field. It's probably interesting to look from the outside in, sort of like you're not, you know, maybe you don't sell yourself, but you come into contact, right, with a lot of sellers. You're sitting in at the, you know, 7 and 8 figure masterminds. You're picking up things. Like, what have you kind of seen as far as like a change over the years of things that you've picked up on that an inside person might not necessarily see, because sometimes we're too deep in the forest.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I've been with capitalism.com and Ryan for 3 years now. And I'll tell you, when I joined, I had every intention of launching Amazon brands. And we can get into why that kind of hasn't happened. I've pursued some other directions as this behind the scenes guy. But you know, back in 2016, 2017, it did feel a little bit more of like a Amazon gold rush. Anyone could throw up a product and, you know, sell some cell phone cases or whatever. And there was just money to be had. And the way I got into it was, you know, I was at the first capitalism conference and I was working with Ryan before I joined full time, interviewing e-commerce sellers and getting their real stories. And I started to see that it was real. Like, it wasn't just some internet markety kind of hyped up get rich quick scheme, you know, I got to talk with and conduct interviews with a lot of people, and get the real story. You know, it, when what you see when the cameras aren't rolling is really interesting. And I also started to see a lot of the hardships, a lot of the ups and downs, a lot of the issues where, you know, somebody would be shipping in a lot of product and it would essentially get lost on a big boat in the water, or they would have legal issues, or they would be in competition with Amazon brand that was kind of undercutting that seller. And so I had this idea of, like, I had a very specific idea where I wanted to launch a journal for couples to help them improve their love life and help them improve their relationships. And this could be something that you pass back and forth between the person you're dating or you're married to. And I guess I just got really honest with myself about what my passions are and what my strengths are, which is really creating content. And a lot of the work I've been able to do through video, through podcasts, through social media has enabled a lot of other people to follow their dreams, quit the jobs they hate, become entrepreneurs. And I've gotten more into consulting for Amazon brands. So outside of work, I'll do consulting for brands under $1 million in revenue a year. And again, I'm playing to my strengths, which is what I know around video, around photography, around copywriting, and around like brand building. So Ryan Daniel Moran specifically as an influencer is obviously all about the brand building, about the audience growth. And yeah, I mean, you can kind of maybe muscle your way or strong arm your way to the top of page one with aggressive ad spend, with PPC, with affiliate relationships, all this stuff, you know. But I've also seen people build amazing brands by just really connecting on an individual level with their people, like great customer service. So, you know, I guess the thing I see from behind the camera at these workshops, at these events, is that I guess it's harder than it looks from the outside. And I don't mean that to be a disincentive for anyone to get involved with e-commerce. But basically, every model of growing your wealth, of being an entrepreneur, like, it's all hard. Like, whether you want to be an affiliate marketer, that's hard. Whether you want to be an investor and be an options trader, like, that's hard. Whether you just want to do arbitrage and, like, flip stuff, like, they're all different models. Some people sell info products. That's also a hard business. Like, they're all hard. And so it's just an amazing way to serve people, I think, is by providing them physical products that kind of help them on their journey. But the thing I got kind of a rude awakening on was, like, this is tough. This is hard. It's not you set it up and you get mailbox money.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up some, I think, some gold nuggets that I'm extracting from what you're saying. The first thing is that, you know, also when I got into e-commerce, it was after I started an online insurance agency. It was the first time when I had an online insurance agency, it was the first time I had real success in like online marketing, because I took something that my background was in banking and financial advisor and insurance. And I took something I already knew and I created, you know, instead of chasing people through like networking meetings and things like that, I created a website and generated leads through SEO and had success with it. But I tried so many things prior that, you know, were a lot of like, you know, affiliate marketing and flipping domains and like whatever courses were being sold, you know, throughout like from like 2000 to, you know, 2007, you know, tried a lot of different things in online marketing, and a lot of them were really kind of chasing a dream of, you know, of a lot of sort of get rich quick type stuff, which, which, you know, one, didn't materialize, but two, it's like through your failures, you learn. I picked up a lot of skills along those years, which eventually led me to you know, knowing SEO and knowing how to have somebody build a site and thinking about digital marketing, and why am I chasing people through going to, you know, Rotary meetings when like there's people online searching for what I have to offer, if I could only reach those people that are already looking for what I have to offer. And so, you know, there's a lot of lessons in those, you know, quote unquote failures. But one of the things that you, and so I also found out when I got into e-commerce, like, this was real. I started with arbitrage. I started going to stores and flipping stuff, and I started getting sales like right away, right? It was like, it was real just by sending stuff to Amazon. And I saw the opportunity. But one of the things you said was, I think really key, that it's all hard. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you're going to go after something hard, you should be passionate about it. You know, you said that you're, at the end of the day, you like creating content, right? And you, and through that content creation, you've enabled other people to go and create that journal or create that product and sell it. And I think the lesson is like all of, you know, there's nothing, there's no easy overnight making money thing. So if you're going to go after, you know, making money, consulting, doing something on your own other than, you know, other than working for someone or even working for someone, you should at least, you know, go after something you enjoy doing because it's going to allow you to put in that time and energy into it as opposed to something you hate doing. And, you know, I kind of resonate with a lot of what you said in a lot of ways. I sell products and I also put out content and I enjoy the putting out content part a lot more than, you know, than like, I like the selling products and I like that, but like at the end of the day, I'm selling products on Amazon. I don't know the end customer. I don't have a relationship with them. You know, when I put out content, somebody's on the other side of that and I get to see feedback and I get to interact with people and I get to do, you know, I get to bring you on a podcast. It's like, for me, it's a lot more meaningful than, you know, I also run an agency, and through that agency, I get to work with sellers, and through, you know, with that, I build relationships with sellers and help them in their businesses. But I get a lot more enjoyment out of seeing other people, you know, serving other people, seeing other people's benefit than by, you know, selling a product to a faceless person that I don't know. And like, I think doubling down on what you really enjoy doing and not chasing something just because, you know, like, I'm sure you've been around Ryan and conferences and masterminds, and you're around a lot of e-commerce sellers. And I think there's always that side that says, hey, why don't you chase that, right? And do the same thing. Like, it looks so easy when it's really not, but like everybody else is doing it. Why am I not jumping in? When the real answer is finding what actually drives you, right? And what makes you happy.
Well, look, yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the comparison game when, you know, I'm 31 years old now and you run into people in their 20s who are supposedly, you know, crushing it, making tons of money on Amazon. And there is that nagging sense of your mind of like, maybe I should be further along in life. And, you know, I'm just as smart as these guys. Maybe I should do that. But yeah, I mean, you can create a really great life for yourself doing anything. And I love hearing you say that you're really embracing the content creation, because honestly, it's been really cool to see you just become kind of like the selfless community leader, I think, in the e-commerce space, who just seems to have a lot of time and energy and advice for anybody who's willing to listen. So that's been really cool to just kind of watch from afar as you kind of guide people and counsel other people. And also, you know, I really enjoyed like your No Zero Days podcast you did about tracking progress. And it's been cool to see you, like, you know, really take, you know, your health and fitness and weightlifting into account too. So I just wanted to, give you a pat on the back over audio for that.
Thank you.
But
thank you. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. When you're talking about how you got started and your origins, I don't know if you're familiar with organization, Business Networking International, or BNI.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man,
I was a member.
Yeah, I was hustling in there for like 2 or 3 years, growing a video marketing agency here in Austin, Texas. And before that, I was a wedding wedding videographer and photographer for about 4 years. And so, I know you're a big fan of like Naval Ravikant, and he talks a lot about like skill set acquisition. And this is where I think it's important to, you know, for us to put ourselves in like these no lose situations where you were talking about how there are things earlier in your career, whether it was understanding finance or networking, that have paid dividends to you later in life. And, I'm in the same boat. It's the skill sets that I got through running my own business and kind of social media marketing and photography, video. I went to film school and got my film degree thinking I was going to like go to Los Angeles and like be the next Spielberg. And the truth is just this job didn't really exist when I was in college. Like I remember like Instagram didn't even have video. It was like a photography only platform. So you never really know where the future of work is heading, but all you can do is acquire these skill sets around like management and having a good eye for things and communication. So it's just interesting to hear about your story and how you've, just cause I think sometimes it can almost feel like a little meandering, or it can feel like, oh, I wish I didn't waste so much time on that. But it's like, it's all leading somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you mentioned the podcast and thank you. You mentioned the episode I did on No Zero Days and part of that, it was a Reddit post that I kind of read out on the episode. Is part of that is like, there are three yous. There's your past you, your present you, and your future you. And part of like success or having good days in your present is forgiving your past you, right? Mm. Like, don't have regrets for, I should have done that. Or like, maybe somebody's listening to this and like, I should have jumped into Amazon in 2013. so easy. Like, how did I make that mistake? But like, you know, you went through your experience for whatever reason you had to, you learned lessons, you know, along the way. And the only way to sort of take advantage of the present moment is by forgiving the past you, not consistently worrying about, you know, what I could have, should have done, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. It's like, what am I doing now every day to, and the episode was to not have a zero day. So, I think, sometimes I look at, you know, I sell on Amazon, but I'm not the biggest seller in the room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I look at these 20-year-olds that are selling, you know, $10 million a year. And like, wow, it's pretty impressive. But I don't have this sense of like, you know, I don't have this sense of, I have more like admiration for like, wow, that's awesome for them. Like, you know, not this sense of like, man, I wish I was that. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I was talking to a seller a few weeks ago and he's like, can you believe that guy, how much he's selling? And that guy, you know, I'm pretty sure half the day he's just smoking pot and he's selling $1 million a month, you know? And I'm thinking like, that's that kind of mindset is never going to get you ahead. And I think like you mentioned, you know, sort of this comparison game is, as humans, like you should kind of compare yourself to yourself. Yeah. Like how am I doing better today than I did, you know, yesterday, right? Like, what am I doing to improve myself? We're all kind of here on a different trip, different journey. So I want to jump in. So you produce content. And so you obviously have a knack for that. You consult, you know, probably there's Amazon sellers generally listening to this, and who are not really putting out content. You also recently started a podcast that I want to talk about. Specifically, you brought on your dad on an episode, and I want to ask you about that. But where do you think? Do you think sellers are kind of too lazy or missing the mark? They're just trying to like talk about the latest tactic or ranking your products or how to get more reviews. And like, if they only focused on, you know, and Ryan talks a lot about this, right? Like building an audience and putting out content, like where should people even start? You know, let's say I sell, you know, I sell some kitchen products, you know, where would I kind of go to start, like saying, okay, I want to put content down. I want to build an audience that I can get, you know, I can put content for, and as a byproduct of putting out that content, it's somehow related to this product that I'm selling.
Yeah, man, this is just such a big question, because it really depends on the products, the audience. But I just want to say broadly, I feel like, I guess there is nothing that people have to do, but everything they do content wise should be something that they're really proud of. So people get really stuck in saying, like, oh, I hate Instagram. I don't know how to do Instagram. It's like, well, don't do it. You know, like, build the email list, or really think about your product photos, or maybe there's a different platform for you that works. But people think of, I think, content a lot as this afterthought. And I'd encourage people to really give it a lot of respect and think about not as like this chore or like a mandatory thing of like, well, you know, I'm supposed to be doing a post a week or three posts a week, but instead to really just put themselves in the buyer's shoes and realize, like, those buyers are on a journey that might be to, what they're really doing is maybe eating healthier or losing weight or learning to love themselves, or, you know, like, think about the end goal and, like, really build the community around content that speaks to them on an emotional level. So people can get, you know, this has been one of my biggest struggles is letting go of my, like, basically film school pretentiousness about image quality, about graphic design. You know, that's just kind of the world I came from, was shooting really commercial high-end work. And, you know, people can just, like, flip on their phone and talk directly to the camera. Some people, I think, should be a very visual, public face of their brand. And then I also know some people are totally uncomfortable with that. So, again, it's like, you don't have to do anything, but, like, lean into, like, what fires you up and what gives you energy, and then it won't really feel like work. That's kind of just like my broad, I get a lot more specific with people on like the actual products, if it's supplements or, you know, there was a woman who was doing a party planning company that offers things to people who are planning parties. Now, obviously that is like mostly female skewed, who are putting together the events. And it was important to have a conversation around, it's not about you and your products. It's about your customer and what are they really trying to do, which is like, be a great host and make people feel welcome in their home. And so that opens up a whole conversation around, well, what, maybe you can just repurpose content. Maybe there are some quotes you can find. Maybe you could just use other people's videos. So I think people can be their own worst enemy, I think, and making things harder than they really need to be.
Do you think there's, and you know, there's a lot of great stuff in what you said. I think, you know, the content you're putting out is probably more important than, like, the quality. Like you said, today you can turn on an iPhone and go live, right? And it's more so about the content and not so much, you know, if it's shot and highly edited and produced. In fact, sometimes it's a lot more authentic to not be that way, right? Because you come across as, like, same as the person watching, not this, like, huge brand or something, but actually, like, a more relationship or more connecting with the person, because, like, you're on your iPhone just the same. But do you think there's an advantage, or do you think if somebody's starting out a brand today and they're sort of willing to be, because there's some people that just don't want to be in front of a camera, but if they're willing to be the face of the brand, that there's a big advantage in saying, you know, instead of, like, the way a lot of Amazon sellers pick their products is, you know, looking at data and then saying, okay, I narrowed down 1,000 products into these five that based on supply, demand, data, price, margins, I'm going to go with this one. Versus saying, I'm going to look at something that I might be passionate about. I'm going to build an audience. I don't care how much competition is. I know there's enough demand, but I'm my own. Nobody can compete with me, uniquely me. Do you think there's an like advantage if somebody's willing to do that, to be the face of the brand, as opposed to all the other methods of putting out content, like having writers put out blog posts, or sharing other people's stuff?
So I almost see two kind of brands here. And there are companies who are selling things that are a little bit more like commodities, and they're like me too products, and they may be an improvement on mm-hmm. a different product. And I know people mm-hmm. who do this incredibly well, and they don't have the strongest brand presence. And so just to throw out some some product ideas, like if you're mm-hmm. selling the best umbrella on Amazon, it's like you don't really have to show your face and talk about it. Like that's just my perspective.
Right.
But then there's this other brand that is like the scrappy startup that is like, you know, I developed this healthy alternative product because I wanted to improve my own health, and my mom has diabetes, and there's a real story to tell. So you know, look, I think some people are much more data driven. And again, maybe they could either lean into that or consider collaborating with a co-founder or someone who can be more of, or they could partner with an influencer and give them some amount of equity in the brand that they could earn over time. So again, yeah, it's hard to speak too broadly over this, but that's kind of the delineation I would make, is that like some people are just selling products, and there's nothing wrong with that, and they've got like a badass oil diffuser or you know, whatever else. And then there's some people who are serving like a very specific audience. Obviously at Capitalism and Ryan, we tend to lean pretty heavily into like the brand building side.
Yep. Yeah, and the, you know, part of the question is how much longer is it sustainable, right, to do the oil diffuser thing, right? Because, you know, there are a lot of people, probably we both know, that did get in with that umbrella or oil diffuser 5 years ago, but today it's a lot more difficult. So maybe today, if I did want to do that umbrella, I'd go out in the biggest storm and put out a video, right? And run some video ads, right? On like why this umbrella. And probably if I was going to go sell an umbrella online, it would have to be, you know, some kind of cooler or strong, better design, or then there would need to be something about it that would make it better.
Can I give one quick video example here? This is a little different because it's not physical products. So I just hope this is an interesting example and certainly applies to different kind of brands and info products. Ryan Moran and I, it just made me think of when you were talking about low budget videos. I just pointed a camera of Ryan and his Tesla driving around Austin talking about a story. And we called this video Coffee Shop Capitalism. And he talked about going to have this conversation with a barista, and she wasn't a fan of capitalism. And Ryan kind of argued that the existence of what we're seeing in coffee, everything from bulletproof coffee with butter, grass-fed butter, to MCT oil, to turmeric, to like all of these crazy things we're seeing in coffee. And you could even look at the Starbucks model in elevating, you know, $3, $4, $5, $6 cups of coffee. Like that is all capitalism. Mm-hmm. Now in that video, we organically did over 3 million views before any ad spend. And that is kind of like the top of the funnel, in that we are talking about the brand's values, and we're not selling anything. So I wanted to just use that to say that people can make content that kind of attacks the problem indirectly, As opposed to, we weren't saying, hey, you know, join this mastermind group, join this community for $99 a month. Here's the course. It's like, let's build a community around values, around ideas. And then, you know, on the strategic side, we can also target people who have watched over 50% of that video or 75% of that video, and then hit them with the follow-up. So there's a whole sequence here in which you warm people up. And again, this is like, it's just building a relationship with your audience. And so there's like this top of funnel through content. And it's, this is, I'm like, I don't want to be too crass here, but this is like, you know, meeting a girl at a bar and just like immediately asking her to come home with you after, instead of like building a relationship. And, you know, I think this is the goal of content, I think, to stay top of mind and to be reminding people, to be touching them on an emotional level. So they're connecting with you, they're nodding their head, watching your content, or they're smiling, or they're sharing it. You know, my favorite videos we do are the ones where, like, my mom shares our videos, because they're all about mindset and about positivity and about serving others and contribution. My mom isn't an entrepreneur. She doesn't care about business. She doesn't know anything about Amazon. So that's I think, a reframe that I hope will be useful to people, which is to think, how do we make this like shareable and valuable first, and not worry so much about taking the sale right out the gate?
So asking yourself this question of, you know, is it shareable before you put out a piece of content? And actually, another question, I listened to James Altucher's podcast, me too, and he says he doesn't put out a piece of content unless he thinks he's going to be like judged by it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like somebody's going to think of him in some kind of way because of putting out that content. But obviously, you know, that makes it more, you know, interesting. Or I may come on here and say, you know, I enjoy putting content out more than selling. And someone may think, you know, see, he's not a real seller, you know, or right. Like, they may judge me, but like, I don't care. It's actually more authentic to be who I am, and it's going to resonate with more people. And right, like, you're ultimately not trying to appeal to everybody. You're trying to appeal to a specific group of people that that will, you know, follow you. I saw Ryan put out a post this week of somebody who gave him like an, you know, negative review on his book, and, you know, he went in and, you know, and answered them, right? Like, you're going to write something, you're going to put something out, you're going to be judged. It's actually better, right? You're going to, it means you're appealing to some and not to, you're not trying to appeal to everybody out there. So I think that's important to ask yourself certain questions before you put out a piece of content, and also realize that, yeah, this is like building a relationship. I follow I buy about, I don't know, $200-$300 a month of supplements from this woman who I don't even know her last name, other than I know her as Organic Olivia. And she's, you know, she's on Instagram. She has several hundred thousand followers. She's also an herbal school. So she's kind of like an expert in her field, and put together all these supplements. And it's only through her website. And she puts out a lot of content around why take this supplement, why take that. Both her parents had COVID, and she shared like the whole, you know, experience, including her father's now living with her and how she rehabbed him and how she used the supplements and like all this stuff. And like, you follow the story and journey, and it, you know, I'm not going to go shop her supplement versus another one for $5. Right. Like, I'm tied into her, right. I'm tied into her product. And I think it's a great place to get to where, yeah, you're not putting out content to get the sale. You're putting out content to get the relationship, which over time, I think you said right in the beginning of this, you want to do this to have that emotional connection, right, with the person. You know, I wanted to ask you mentioned this video you put out that had 3 million hits, right? Is there, I mean, you put out a lot of content. Is there like a formula, right? How do you, can you make that happen twice? And the question is also, if you try to make that happen, do you miss the mark because you're going kind of for the wrong thing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like nothing raises the hairs on the back of my neck more than people be like, make me a viral video. it's a little bit out of right. control, but I do know it feels like when you're trying to optimize for the result, it often misses the mark. I mean, yeah, to be really honest, I feel like we and I think a lot of people just throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks and gather data along the way. And, you know, there's the statistic that people throw around that 90% of businesses fail. And Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think, read that and said, well, I just got to figure out how to get in the 10%, or I guess I just have to launch 10 businesses then. And it's like, you can take the same approach with video. Nobody remembers your duds. Nobody is really going to hold it against you if it's like kind of boring or kind of lame, or it wasn't like, so it's all you really have to do is look at the engagement, the quality of the engagement. Are people saying, oh, that was nice, cool, thanks, like thumbs up, fire emoji? Or are people writing you a paragraph or two because it like deeply resonated with you? And if that's the case, like you might be onto something. Maybe you need to do more content like that. And again, it's like, yeah, I'm talking about videos, but this could be podcasts. This could be infographics. This could be quotes. It could be anything. So yeah, I feel like this is a disappointing answer for a lot of people, which is like, how can you just make a viral video? A lot of the ones that have gone viral completely caught us by surprise. But really the takeaway there is that's just the importance of consistency. And, you know, we both know Ryan Moran is no stranger to courting some controversy. But in his opinion, he's never trying to be controversial to ruffle people's feathers. He's really just like speaking his truth. And I think this speaks to what James Altucher was talking about, which is, this is what I feel. This is what I believe. This is me being honest. And I also know maybe some people aren't going to like it, but I'm going to put it out anyway. And it's so true. When you, when you speak to everyone, you really speak to no one, and it can become really, really bland. And you want to stick out. You know, we try to create content that's like what we call like a thumb stopper, because a lot of people are scrolling really fast. And so I can talk about a couple of things, which is, to make your first 5 seconds really interesting or really engaging, to use story, to use captions. I mean, it's pretty, I don't know, pretty basic stuff, but I feel like I would tell people to just keep throwing stuff at the wall and understand that it does take time and it is a process. You know, one time I did this thing called, my friend encouraged me to do the 30-day video challenge on Facebook. And it was me doing one video every single day for 30 days. It had to be over 60 seconds and it had to be shared publicly and it could be on any topic. And let me tell you, by day 30, I was a lot more comfortable on camera. I had a lot more to say.
Yeah.
I felt like it was the point of the progress I made in 1 month was really drastic. So it's just like going to the gym. Like you just got to put in the reps with this stuff.
Yep. And you know, I think when it comes to e-commerce, like there's so many people who aren't putting content, but like dedicate, you know, an hour a week or dedicate 3 hours a week to thinking about and maybe start putting out some content, right? It's not a short-term quick fix, but like you can build a blog of followers over time, right? And get SEO traffic, or you can start a podcast. I mean, we have so much, or YouTube, right? Like we have so much leverage today. The podcast that we're recording on now, I was telling you before we started, cost me zero. I use Anchor. I don't pay for hosting. The only thing it costs me is the time and energy that it creates. But the leverage that you have is, you know, you have this, you know, Naval, you mentioned, talks about leverage, and used to be that the only leverage you had was from capital, money, or hiring people. And today you have leverage through not, you know, through software, but you don't need to be a coder to put out a YouTube video or to write a blog post or to record a podcast. It's just your time and putting out valuable content, and you can build build an audience around that. And I would challenge people that are not doing that to start to think about that or dedicate a little bit of time to that around your brand. So you started a podcast. You must probably listen to a lot of podcasts. The podcast is called Podcast People. And I take it from some of the content that I heard. I know you just did an episode about Joe Rogan taking, you know, $100 million to sign with Spotify. And it's, is it pretty much a review of the podcast that you're listening to, what you liked about them and kind of what's sort of happening among different podcasts?
Yeah, I think that sums it up well. You know, on Podcast People with Chris Van Loan, I guess Chris Van Loan second, I review podcasts, I interview podcasters, and then I kind of talk about the state of podcasting generally. And on its surface, you know, it is this recommendation show, but it's really about kind of how you can rewire your brain to make you a better, happier version of yourself. I mean, this is kind of the process I went through podcasts as a medium that I just have so much love for. Is my favorite podcast is Tim Ferriss, and I've listened to like every single podcast he's ever put out. That's a lot. It's a lot.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah. And his podcasts are long too.
For sure. And you know, I listen to them cooking in the gym, doing laundry, all these little things. And it just came a point where it was like, am I going to listen to this song or this music, this album I've already heard, you know, 20 times before, or try to kind of enrich my life through case studies of fascinating people who are doing interesting things? And it's interesting that like Tim Ferriss, really, I don't think of him as being that inspirational or motivational, but just the sheer exposure to all of the high achieving people doing really cool things, it really brightened my perspective of the world. And I think I used to be very depressed, unhappy person. And I really can attribute podcasts to a lot of this, like I said, like rewiring. I remember way before I started working with Ryan, I remember just like listening to his podcast at the gym and hearing all these really cool stories that would get me like fired up. And it's just a mindset shift, you know. I can dive pretty deep into the entrepreneurial stuff because that's kind of the world I live in. You know, first I try to keep the reviews on Podcast People like pretty eclectic, so people can learn about health, about spirituality, about healthier relationships. And so, you know, I try to mix it up. Like I did a Conan O'Brien podcast during quarantine that I talked about just because I thought people really needed to laugh and to be entertained. And that is like a form of self-care and taking care of yourself, because we were all getting really just swamped in all of the negativity. So I personally try to mix it up. I almost recommend people think of their podcast consumption as like a pie chart, where you could think of things that are perhaps on a specific skill set you want to learn more about. And then there are things that you can listen to purely for entertainment. And then some things that are going to inspire you. And so it's like create a little bit of like a diet for yourself, almost the way people build like macros around, you know, carbs and fats and proteins. It's like things that are going to grow you, things that are going to lift you up. And really with launching a podcast, it felt like it would be harder not to do this podcast than to do it, which it does take time, but I was basically having these conversations in my head all the time and having these conversations with my friends all the time, which is to say, like, it just became like such a stereotypical Chris conversation was, you know, oh, I just heard about this podcast. I have to tell you about it. And I would talk people's ear off about it for, you know, 10, 20 minutes. And then it was like, it's so obvious. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think everyone has a thing like that where they could look in their own life and it's like, what am I doing already for free anyway? And how can I turn that into content or a business or an audience? Like, for the first 2 months of doing podcast people, I didn't even look at the downloads. Like, I didn't care. It was just like, I just had to do it.
Right.
Like, I just had to put it out there. It was like,
I mean, and if it's something that gives you like fulfillment and joy, just the act of doing it.
Well, some of the value I get out of it,
you know,
is it helped me flipped from just being a consumer who was kind of mindlessly, endlessly consuming to being a producer and a creator in this role too. You know, the capitalism.com podcast with Ryan Moran is over 9 million downloads now. And I've been working on it for 3 years now. So I've been behind the scenes producing other people's podcasts. And it's really easy to become an passive listener of audiobooks, of podcasts. And by the sheer fact of me needing to share takeaways and summarize and do analysis of podcasts, I'm listening to the podcast at a higher level because I know I'm going to have to share them with the world in a way that's like coherent and makes sense and offers some kind of value. Like, I keep the reviews pretty short, often from like 6 to 10 minutes. And I want the review to be of value in and of itself, even if people don't take my recommendation and go listen to the review.
Right.
So it's so valuable for me to just take that passive listening experience and turning it into something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you truly become a master at something when you can teach it to somebody else, right? And I kind of do the same thing. I consume a lot of content. And what you said about the diet is kind of very spot on. And sometimes, you know, I kind of shuffle in this world of podcasts between e-commerce and like mindset inspiration, like a, you know, a School of Greatness, right? Or Brendan Burchard or Derek Sivers, James Altucher. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I listen to Shopify Masters and, you know, I listen to Ryan and I listen to like podcasts in the e-commerce world. And sometimes I feel guilty, you know, if I am not listening to something I'm going to learn as a skill set in my business, you know, but so I think the idea of having this like diet of like, hey, I'm just going to listen because like I really enjoy listening and it lifts me up and it's inspirational, even though it's not this like specific skill or something that I'll implement in my business. But I also, I'm always listening with an ear of, is there something here valuable that I can share with an audience, right? Like share. And that puts me listening at a higher, deeper level than somebody else who's passively listening. I follow and I've become a little friendly with Jesse Itzler, and he puts out a lot of content. And one of the things that in the last year that I picked up from him was he says, be where your feet are. Okay. Which is like, if I'm watching a video, I'm not scrolling on my phone. I'm not paying attention. Yeah. My notifications are shut off. Like, I'm not doing anything else. I'm strictly like paying attention. And I think the way to flow with the universe is to be present, right? Like I go on Peloton, and when I'm on the Peloton, the instructors say, like, you're on this Peloton, just be here now. Just do this. Don't think about anything else. Like, just focus on this and be here. And I feel like you said about stopping the scroll, like so many of us are just scrolling, and I suffer from that sometimes too, but I've also put in these certain principles in my life to, you know, be present, because it you know, we live in this distracted world. So with your podcast, is there sort of a monetization component? Is it, are you just like doing something you love, building an audience? Do you have an offer or like any promotional thing? Are you taking ads on it? Like, is there some kind of specific?
Well, currently, you know it is kind of a lost leader, and that I do pay the like 20 or 30 bucks a month on Libsyn through distribution, and I don't make anything mm-hmm. through it. I have a call to action that people can reach out to me on Instagram at Chris Van Loan II that I like to do. But really, mm-hmm. I'm seeing this as being in the early growth stage of just growing the audience. So yeah, people can reach out to me for like consulting on their business or content creation. But yeah, no, that's never been the goal with it necessarily. I almost look at it as, there's no direct monetization strategy yet. I really see this as being like just the way the economy is heading, which is that like every individual is becoming their own media company. And this is almost like part of my resume or part of my calling card, which is to say, like, there are a lot of things I'm not an expert on, but I do have very strong opinions about podcasts and about using podcasts as a medium for this transformative kind of effect it can have on your life. So, you know, we'll kind of see where it's heading. It's really been a passion project. And I think, like you kind of said earlier, having a podcast, it just allows you to have conversations with people you kind of always wanted to talk to anyway. You know, I say, like,
right,
I did this podcast with my dad, and maybe, like, it would have been weird, perhaps, to just say, like, hey, Dad, can we, like, put our phones down for an hour, and can I just, like, grill you on every question I've ever wanted to ask you and, you know, talk to you about stuff? It kind of gives you an excuse or creates an opportunity to have these deeper conversations.
Yes. Right. It's a great point, because, you know, this conversation or the one with your dad you wouldn't normally say, hey, yeah, let's talk on the phone.
Well, I just did one with my girlfriend, but it was interesting, you know, because we talk all the time, but it was just it was a different context. Yeah.
Right. Different dynamic on the conversation. You can get away with asking different questions, right? Like, there's a whole dynamic to it. And I think also from a networking perspective, it could be really good, right? Like, to whatever field or, you know, topic or sort of you're talking on, it elevates you into a position of, let's say, leadership. And, you know, I think it can open unexpected doors. You know, I get all sorts of messages sometimes and things from, because I put myself today I got a message from somebody writing a book about Amazon asking me to write a blurb, right? Or endorse the book, right? Like, now, and this is like a well-known person, and now I get to network with certain people through, not just through podcasts, but just through putting out content that normally I wouldn't, you know? And, you know, when I maybe want something at some point down the line, I'll be able to ask for a favor from somebody through that world. So I think it could be great for any business. And I happen to love podcasts as like an awesome medium, because on the one hand, people can be passive. Like, you could be doing your laundry, but you may not be able to, like, do your laundry and watch a YouTube video at the same time, but you can do a podcast, or you can be, yesterday I decided to go for a run instead of go on Peloton, because I could listen to a podcast while I go on a run. I can't do that on Peloton. And so I decided to do that because, I also wanted to, like, do this Tony Robbins said net time, right? No extra time. Like, you're driving in the car, you can listen to a podcast, you can't watch a video per se. So I love that as a medium. And also it's a more, I feel like more, you know, I've heard people say, like, when you're in somebody's ear, like in their headphones, you're building this like intimate relationship with them that you're not maybe building in another sort of medium. So I happen to really like the medium, and again, it's one of those areas you can put out, you can get a lot of leverage from. So let's touch off on how was finishing up on how was it to interview your dad, and maybe what book you're currently reading, and then how do people, is Instagram the best way to get in touch with you to get some consulting as far as, you know, putting out content for somebody's e-com business?
You know, it's so funny that my dad is not really a huge podcast enthusiast, except for the ones that I share with him. And maybe part of that's just like a generational thing. Mm-hmm. But yet he really informed my love of the medium by exposing me to a lot of long form conversations. And what I love is like that depth and that nuance that you don't see on more of like cable news, where someone has like a 3-minute talking point or they have to promote their thing, you know, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, mm-hmm. like Charlie Rose and Fresh Air with NPR, or like Inside the Actor's Studio, like those were some of my, like, you know, fondest mm-hmm. childhood memories, in a sense, is like having my mind expand, because you can really see like someone's humanity in the long form, as opposed to these more highly produced kind of manufactured yep. things I was seeing through media. Yeah. Yeah.
Segment. Yep. Yeah. I mean, every, you know, late night show, right? They have a pre-interview, you know, the questions, like it's so right. You know, the questions they're going to ask ahead of time. And like, it's really yeah. just very,
I think scripted. It just allowed me to see him more as like a man and an individual. I think we all kind of go through this experience of like when you're a kid, you think your parents have all of the answers and they're like grown-ups that have everything figured out. And we talked about my dad's upbringing in South Philadelphia, which was a pretty impoverished neighborhood, and him getting into self-help books and mindset mm-hmm. books and really advancing in his career. And, you know, my dad is an abstract painter. And he's a filmmaker, and he's done photography, and he's done public speaking. And man, it's like, I can't even keep track of all the like cool stuff he's done. You know, like I grew up with him playing music at local venues here in Austin. And so it's like, I grew up listening to my dad's music around the house. And it just feels really special where like other people are mm-hmm. walking around singing mm-hmm. Michael Jackson or whatever, and I'm like singing like my dad's songs, and those are like right. songs that I'll always carry with me. So the podcast was just a really cool time capsule. You know, since we recorded it, my dad has mm-hmm. had some really rough health struggles, and he's doing okay, but he, quite frankly, he doesn't really have the energy right now to do a 60-minute podcast and be lively and animated. And, you know, he's like on medications and right. just hanging in there and recovering. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have to feel grateful that you're able
to it's like, have I, that you know, moment or capture that time. It surprised me that it was probably my most downloaded podcast, because that was one that I just did for me. And we talked a lot about content today. So I hope mm-hmm. people can take something away from that, which is
yep.
if you just do content for you and you follow this certain passion of what feels fun and what you would enjoy, you might be surprised at how well it performs. This was one I was like, you know what? I can look back on this 10, 20 years from now and look at my 31-year-old self talking with my mm-hmm. father and enjoy that conversation for me. Like, I don't care if anybody else listens to it. It's just for me. Turns out it's my most downloaded podcast.
Right.
So,
right.
So I feel like there's definitely a lesson in that. Right. And yeah, it's just a, just kind of an invaluable, priceless, you know, conversation.
Yeah. Because when you're doing content as like, for the fly on the wall, right? When I record, I don't talk to the person a lot ahead of time or like go through questions or all this stuff ahead of time, because I want it to be supernatural. I want to turn on the mic whatever happens in the conversation happens, it's going to be a lot more interesting than if I sent them, you know, 20 questions ahead of time that they rehearsed on,
yeah,
you know, how they're going to answer. And I think if you think about doing content like that around your brand, you know, where you bring on people or you do a podcast, you can start to really build a following and a relationship with people. And like people buying your product is like a byproduct of that because you've built a relationship with them and it's the same audience. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, putting out good content without like thinking about how am I going to sell this product around that content and building relationships and doing it authentically. And yeah, I think it's got to appeal to the right person who kind of enjoys that. I have some people on my team that, you know, mm-hmm. don't want to have anything to do with putting out content. They, you know, partner in my agency, he does all the operations. That's not his thing, right? Like, that's my thing. I enjoy it. He doesn't. So like, it's actually a really good fit, right? So if you're not the person, maybe there's somebody who you can hire, bring on the team, who could be the person. And it could be very worthwhile.
I want to your brand. Answer, I guess, the other question. I don't know if I missed one in there. Yes. But yeah, people can always reach me at chris@capitalism.com. And I'd love to just give people advice. And if you got any questions, I'm not as unapproachable as people think. my boss, Ryan, is pretty busy with his new book. 12 months to 1 million, but people could always email me or just hit me up on Instagram. It's Chris Van Loan II or Chris Van Loan II, just like you're loaning a van, just like it sounds.
And I can vouch, you know, Chris has been consistently putting out content for Capitalism for a long time and is a pro when it comes to creating videos and content and seeing it on a big platform like Capitalism. So I would encourage you to, you know, reach out if you want to talk to him about, you know, content ideas or consulting. Nice guy. So makes it even better. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you taking the time. You know, I think there are a lot of good nuggets in this episode about putting out content, e-commerce, around mindset as well. So thank you so much for coming
on. It's funny, I was just talking with Ryan about this. Like, it is all about the nuggets, which is you read an entire book and maybe there are three or four things that stick with you. You listen to a 2-hour podcast and maybe there's two things that stick with you. There are podcasts I've listened to, you know, 5-7 years ago that still affect my thinking. And so I think that's a really good way to approach content, to approach media, which is to think like, what is just the one takeaway that I can walk away from this with? And that again comes back to what we were saying about kind of passive consumption versus active. So if you can just find those nuggets, it is well worth your time to think of podcast listening as like a practice, almost like a meditation practice, is that you do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You do it day in, day out, week after week, and it can really, truly make you a better, happier person. If you are listening to the right podcasts, if you need some recommendations, check out Podcast People. And yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you take it to the next level and you're not running while you're listening, you sit down with a notebook, right? You're gonna take away and a pen and paper and write some things down. You're gonna take away a lot more. And yes, check out Chris's podcast People for more recommendations and to see what he's listening to. And yeah, I'd love to bring you back once in a while and talk about, like, you know, do a roundup every so often and talk about like top 5 podcasts you've listened to in the last week or something, and kind of share share and expose people. I feel like it's a great time in our life where there's so much good content that people are putting out, you know, for free. It's really amazing. So, thank you so much for coming on. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Hope you got a lot out of that interview with Chris Van Loan, and check out his podcast called Podcast People. Join our Facebook group, E-commerce Mindset. The link is in the show notes here. And I will see you on the next episode of the E-commerce Mindset Show. I hope you share this with somebody who may find it useful, and see you on the next episode.